Good evening. It's good to see everybody. Good to have you all out tonight. We are going to be talking about an interesting subject, at least to me, that we have entitled Doorkeepers. If you were following along with the scripture reading in the 84th Psalm, you probably would have noticed as we got down to around verse 10 that it talked about some of those doorkeepers. For a day in your court is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So we see this concept in the 84th Psalm about being a doorkeeper. And so as I was researching, I was trying to figure out just exactly what this doorkeeper or who this doorkeeper was. And believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of information in Scripture about what a doorkeeper is or who they were. There's really not a lot of historical documents or evidence to state what they were. And so there's a lot of things that we do know, but a lot of things also maybe that we don't know about it. And so I'll try to speak to the things tonight that we do know. One of the things that we find in Psalm, or at least this Psalm that stuck out to me, is he says, I would rather. What does that mean to you? Now, most of you know how I feel about Reese cups. And so if I say, I would rather eat a plate full of broccoli than to eat a Reese cup, does that tell you more about the plate of broccoli, or does that tell you more about the Reese cup? To me, I would hope you would say it tells you more about the Reese cup, right? I have a disdain for them for some reason, and I know people think that I'm crazy, but I truly would rather eat that plate full of broccoli, which, again, I like broccoli. It's not that I'm saying it's bad, but typically, if you have a plate of vegetables and you have some sort of candy bar, you're going to take the candy bar, right? So in saying, I would rather do one thing over the other, we're not saying that the one thing, that the eating the plate of broccoli is so great. We're saying, I really dislike this other thing, that I would rather do this. And so think about that when he says, I would rather stand at the gates. I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than to stand outside, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I think it tells us a lot about being a doorkeeper. It tells us a lot about what we don't want to be doing, and that is dwelling in the tents of wickedness. Like I said, there's not a whole lot of either biblical or historical information, but I will say that most of what I found is that this was not a prestigious position. Think about what a doorkeeper does or who a doorkeeper is. I often think about maybe mischief, right, with brothers and sisters, or mischief with a friend. There was always a doorkeeper, wasn't there? Or isn't there? Maybe if it's still going on today. Hey, you watch the door for mom and dad while we do this. That's the doorkeeper. Now, the doorkeeper stands and watches for mom and dad. And they can hear the laughter going on. They can hear the seriousness and everything that's going on in the room, but they can't be a part of it because they can't leave their post. So even though they want to be part of what's going on in the room, they have to watch for mom and dad. So not only do they have none of the fun, they have all of the responsibility. The ones who are inside the room doing the mischief are the ones doing the mischief and having all the fun. They don't have a care about the door because they left someone there to watch it. Now, sadly, maybe not so sadly for parents, the person that they leave at the door is oftentimes the least responsible person. You stay there. Now, think about a doorkeeper in this historical context. You watch the door while we enjoy ourselves on the inside. Right? The doorkeeper hears all the fun that's going on, hears everything that's happening on the inside of the house, but cannot leave their post. They cannot leave that door because they have to be sure that the people coming in and out are the right people. And so this psalmist is saying, I would rather be in the most least prestigious position in the house of God than to be outside in the tents of wickedness and be part of everything that's going on. It is better to be that doorkeeper. If you look at 1 Chronicles, it's not the same type of doorkeeper. There was actually a prestige that went along with being these gatekeepers, as the Chronicles are talking about these divisions and things that are going on. But the type of doorkeeper that we're talking about is not like that. It's a more humble position. Often, this position in Scripture was kept by women. If you look at John chapter 18, starting in verse 15, Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of high priest, but Peter was standing outside, at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." The doorkeeper is asking questions and asking them for a reason. But notice that it was a slave girl who kept the door. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 13, when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. It's not a very prestigious position that this psalmist in Psalm 84 is seeking for, wanting to fulfill. I will say, though, that while it may not be very prestigious, it is a humble position. It is also a very important position. Again, if you look with me at Mark chapter 13, as Jesus is talking about a parable here, he says, "It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house," and I want you to notice this, "putting his slaves in charge, assigning each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert." Do you see the separation here from all of the other positions? But the doorkeeper's position does not change. You have to stay here. I'm going to tell all of these other slaves what to do, and things are probably going to change because I'm leaving. And so there's going to be responsibilities that you all are going to have to pick up. But the doorkeeper does not change. The doorkeeper, even in this parable, stays the same. And I think that's important. So I want to talk tonight for just a short period of time about what it takes to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Why? Because I think we are all doorkeepers. Or do you not know that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, as Mark has been talking about in his series. We're all doorkeepers of the temple. We need to be aware of who's coming in, who's coming out, or what's coming in, and what is going out. And so I think it's important that we understand what this position is, so we know how to be, and how to do that work that God has instructed us to do. A doorkeeper in general is going to have to be knowledgeable. A doorkeeper needs to be able to be trusted. And so they are going to determine who comes in and who is able to go out. So it's going to take spending some time with the owner to know who he wants to come in and who he wants to go out. Do you think being a doorkeeper for the temple that God has given you is an important position? Do you think we need to spend some time with God so that we know what He wants in and what He wants out? Of course. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, I believe that He explains that to us. In 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14, "I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write to you so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth." Paul writes to Timothy to say, you know what, I want to come, I want to see you, I want to be able to give you some instruction, but because I'm going to be delayed, I'm writing to you now so that you know how to act. We need to be knowledgeable. We should know how God wants us to act. If we look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, we read there, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Those who were given the position of a doorkeeper had to be able to be trusted. While it was not a very prestigious thing, it was something that required a lot of dedication to the master of the house, because they were in charge of letting people in or keeping them out. It was a very important position. Just didn't have a lot of prestige with it because you didn't get to come in. But he needed to leave someone at the door that he was going to be able to trust to let things in and out. But this would often lead to later on very prestigious. If I can trust you at the door, if I can trust you to let people in and keep people out, then I can trust you with something greater. And often it would lead to that. But along with knowing who comes in or what comes in, we need to know what to keep out as well. In Romans 12 and verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." He says, "Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." We need to be able to tell the difference between good and bad, between what's right and what's wrong. Paul tells the Galatian brethren, he gives them two lists here in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. "The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." So as a doorkeeper, not only do we need to keep this list in mind, but anything that looks like this, the stuff on this list, we need to be able to keep that out. "Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So these are the things that you're allowing in, while the first few verses are the things that you're trying to keep out. Can we tell the difference? Do we know the difference when we're confronted with something? Do we know whether to let it into the temple of God or whether to keep it out? A good doorkeeper is going to be knowledgeable enough to know the difference, which means we're going to have sound judgment as well. Now, I know. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 very simply reads, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Well, Tony, you know this verse. People quote this all the time, right? "Don't judge lest you be judged." We get this thrown at us all the time, right? So how can you say that a good doorkeeper is going to be able to have sound judgment? Well, I want you to keep reading in the rest of those verses in chapter 7, starting in verse 2. "For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under feet and turn and tear you into pieces." Can I ask you a question? How do you know who's a dog and who's not? How do you know who the swine are? How do you know what the pearl is? We have to make sound judgment. So while he tells us, "Do not judge lest you be judged," he also tells us that we need to make sound judgments. Now remember that these are judgments not according to our own wants and needs, but according to the needs of God, because He is the house owner. So when we think about, you know, determining who's a dog, who's the swine, what is the pearl? How we judge that is based upon what God wants from us. We have to know that. We have to spend time with Him. We have to be able to make those sound judgments. In Philippians chapter 9, chapter 1, starting in verse 9, it says, "And I pray, or this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge," and notice, "and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." And if you look at this word, approve, it literally means to distinguish between the things that differ. Isn't that interesting? He tells us to discern or use discernment so that we can distinguish between the things that are different. We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to use those sound judgment in doing that. What does God want? Who does God believe that the swine are? Who does God believe the dogs are? What does God believe is the pearl? So I can bring the pearl in and leave the dogs and the swine out. I believe Moses is a good example of this. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, some interesting verses. These heroes of faith that we're reading about in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24 says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." See, Moses sat down and he weighed the pros and cons. I could be the grandson of Pharaoh. Now, I always try to give this analogy. When people ask me about my mom, I'll ask, "Do you want to know about my mom, or do you want to know about my children's grandmother?" Because they're two different people. Grandparents, you know it. You know that that's true. Do you want to know about my mom, or do you want to know about my children's grandmother? Because they're different. They've acted different. Moses could have been the grandson of Pharaoh. Adopted grandson, mind you. I get that. May not have been, you know, heir to all that Egypt had to offer. But certainly a comfortable position to be in. To be the grandson of basically the most powerful man in the world. Or at least one of them at the time. But he weighed that out and said, "You know what? I would rather suffer persecution now because I'm looking for a reward that is greater. I will take the reproach now. I would rather suffer persecution now and be able to have my reward when the time comes, when God is handing out the reward and not Pharaoh." He weighed the pros and cons and he made the right decision. He came up with the right answer. Can we? The last thing that I want us to look at tonight is that to be a good doorkeeper, we're going to be able or have to be able to serve humbly. It is not enough to know. It is not enough to be able to make the right choice. We have to do the right things. We have to serve humbly, however. We need to not only do the right things, but we have to do them with the right attitude. And sometimes that can be difficult. In Luke 18, starting in verse 9, "And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, idolaters, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes toward heaven. He was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.' I tell you, this man went up to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I want to ask you a question. As the Pharisee is going through all of the deeds that he does and all the things that he didn't do, were those good? They were all good. They're all good things. No, of course you wouldn't want to be like a swindler. Even during the time, for the most part, you wouldn't have wanted to be like a tax collector. Paying tithes, all that you get. It's what God wants us to do. But just because we're doing something that God wants us to do does not mean that we can negate everything else that He's asked us to do. We've given this example several times as well. Peyton is always the one, or most of the time, the one who does it. She's our burnt sacrifice, is what I call her. We tell her to do something. And I can remember this vividly. Peyton, go get ready for bed. Brush your teeth, you know, floss, change your clothes, put your PJs on, get ready for bed. Enough time later, she hasn't done any of those things. "What are you doing?" "Here, I drew a picture of us, Daddy." Well, it melts your heart, right? I love the picture. It was a sweet picture of her and I together. However, not what I asked you to do. It's not what we were expecting from you. It's a good thing, yes, but it is not what I've asked you to do, right? And so you've been disobedient, even though you tried to be real sweet about it. It was still disobedience. And I think oftentimes we do that with God. Look at all these things that I'm doing. So doesn't that cut me a break from this thing? No. No, this is expected because God has commanded it of you. So his deeds were good, but he had the wrong attitude about them. Probably felt like, well, I do so much good that I really don't need to have the right attitude. I'm doing everything that you've asked me to do. But God says, no, that's not enough. I want you to do it in the right way. I want you to serve in the right way. In Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 18, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Paul taught that it was necessary to have the right attitude. But you know what? It wasn't always fun. It wasn't always fun for Paul. But he always had the right attitude. Think about being a doorkeeper and turning someone away at the door. Do you think that would have been fun for that person? When this person come up and you had to say, "You know what? My master says that you cannot come in." And they couldn't let him in. "I can't open the door for you. As nice as you may be, as kind as you may be, the master does not want me to let you in, and so I have to keep this door closed. You cannot come in." It probably doesn't feel good. Now think about all the things that come to our door. All of the things that are sinful that maybe look fun, look enjoyable, don't look harmful. Maybe I'll just open it once. "Sorry, but I have to turn you. I cannot let you in. The master does not want me to let you in. I cannot let you in." It's not fun. It's not always fun to do that. But it is always necessary, and we must do it humbly. I'll ask you the question tonight. Would you rather? Would you rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to live in the tents of the wicked? Be involved and be part of something and be part of the fun, or stand inside the house of God, even though it's not the most prestigious position, even though you may not get to go in and be part of everything that's going on inside the house. Would you rather do what you're meant to do or do what you're not meant to do? The psalmist tells us he would rather live a life of humble servitude than to live a free life of excitement and fun. To live a life of ease that was outside God's door. He said, I don't care what job I have. I just want to be inside. I just want to be with God on the inside. And if that's what gets me there, then that's what I'll do. And so while it was very humble, it was not an easy job. It would certainly take knowledge, a lot of knowledge, knowing who to let in and who to keep out. We need to know who to let in and what to keep out. It takes knowledge. It takes spending time with the Master to gain that knowledge. It's going to take sound judgment. There are going to be times when the doorkeeper was going to have to make, do I let this person in or not? What were the rules? What were the guides that my Master set forth? How do I make this judgment? We're going to have to make sound judgment. As we've been talking about in Romans, there are many Christian liberties that God says are they're not right, they're not wrong. You can do them, you don't have to. How do we make those decisions? We're going to have to make sound judgments on things at times. How are we doing with that? And we're going to have to do all of that humbly and in service to God and to others. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a child of God, I want to suggest to you that you cannot even be a doorkeeper in the household of God. There is no position that you can hold in the house of God if you are not a part of the household of God. We can change that tonight. Can baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can walk out of here a child of God. If you are here tonight and you are a child of God who has fallen away, maybe not been the humble servant that you need to be, maybe not been making the sound judgments that you need to make because you don't have the knowledge that you need to have, there's time and opportunity to make that right with your God tonight. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing. Yeah.